Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? This morning's gospel lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 3. You may find it on page 1499 in your pew Bible. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was this: repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. John's clothes were woven from camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sin, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. You brood of snakes, he exclaimed. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sin and turn to God. But someone is coming who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and carry his sandals. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Be seated. Please join me in prayer. Holy and loving God, help us prepare our hearts for you, for your first coming as a child in the manger, and for your second coming again in glory. Speak to us now. Give us a word of peace for our lives. May all that we do and all that we say give you honor and glory, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was reading recently about the Johnny Carson show. Who remembers the Johnny Carson show? And I was reading about Ed McMahon. Now, you know Ed McMahon was the voice on the Johnny Carson show. And what did Ed McMahon do? He really only had two roles on the show. One was to laugh at Johnny Carson's jokes. And the other one was what? Here's Johnny. He introduced the host of the show. And I was reading about this. This was an interview that with Johnny Carson that was years after he had retired from the show. And he was talking about Ed McMahon, and he was saying that Ed McMahon, basically that he couldn't have done the show without Ed McMahon, that Ed McMahon made the show what it was. Really, because when you think of the Johnny Carson show, what goes through your mind? Here's Johnny, right? It became such a part of our cultural milieu and what we know. And Johnny Carson knew that. And he pointed to Ed McMahon and said, if it weren't for him introducing me the way that he did, the show would not have been what it was. In the gospel reading today, we have someone whose sole job is to introduce Jesus. John the Baptist. Now, if you can imagine, here's this guy who was living out in the wilderness. He wore clothes that were woven together out of camel hair. Talk about itchy. Who wants to try that on? You know, I've always thought it would be really interesting if you go through the scriptures and if you were to take the different type of clothing and like do like a church fashion show with all the different outfits that are mentioned in the scriptures. I don't know. I'm going to give Dean the camel hair shirt and let him wear that. Dean wants to be Adam, so I will give you a heads up on when that is, so none of you can show up. Where did Campbell's here? He's eating locusts. He's eating wild honey. This probably is a pretty crazy looking guy. And his sole job in all of Scripture, now, in our Gospels, the three, what we call the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are much more of a straightforward accounting of Jesus' life, and then there's the Gospel of John, which is much more esoteric and theological in nature. But all four Gospels record John the Baptist introducing Jesus. He's that important and central of a character to Jesus' ministry. When I was in college, I took public speaking classes and read a lot of books on communication. And one of the most difficult speeches to give is an introductory speech. Now, maybe there's some of you who like public speaking. And if you really like public speaking, the hard part to me, this is just me, of giving an introductory speech is that you want to say way more than you need to say. Perhaps you want to give the speech that the main speaker is giving, but your job is solely just to very briefly highlight who they are and to also heighten audience anticipation for what's coming. That's what a good introductory speaker does. They get people fired up and ready and excited for what's about to come. And that's what John the Baptist does here in this scripture. Now, he's calling all people. He's preaching repentance. Repentance, which is a word that we've sort of watered down, I think, to mean, oh, I'm sorry for what I did and I feel guilty. Well, that's maybe part of it, but repentance really is about a whole lifestyle switch. It's about an entire reorientation of everything in your life. It's a very much of a geographic, if you go to the Greek, it's very much, it has some geographic undertones to it, about geography. It's really about walking one way, journeying one particular way, and then you stop and you reverse direction and you start going another way. So that's what repentance is all about. It's a complete shift, a complete turning from one way to another way. And that's what John is calling people to do. Repent. Turn around. You've been going one way. You need to go the other way. And so people start coming. He starts to baptize them. But then some other people show up who we don't really know their motives. John seems to have a particular, kind of has them pegged. Some people start to show up. Some religious leaders start to show up. And John, he's so endearing, right? You brood of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And then he sort of gets to their, it's almost as though he kind of sees right through them and what their desires are. And he says, listen, you can't just say, just because you're in a particular lineage that you're okay, just because you're sons of Abraham, just because your parents were founding members of this church, just because you give a lot of money, you can't say you're okay. Even these stones here, God could make those children of Abraham. Repent. Repent. Who would want to stick around for that kind of a sermon? What if you walked in next Sunday and I called you all a pit of vipers, a bunch of snakes, and I said that really all you are, this is what John says in the scripture, he uses an agrarian metaphor, but he's really saying, listen, you're full of garbage. And Jesus is coming along with this winnowing fork. Someone is coming along and he's going to sift all that out. And what's garbage is going to be thrown into the fire. How many of you would want me to tell you that? When I was in seminary, I remember being in it was the first year course. It was about pastoral formation, right? Some of the basics of pastoral ministry and developing a pastoral identity. I remember this older gentleman who was teaching the class, kind guy, sweet guy, but he started with, maybe this is true, but he's like, listen, you know, when you go to your first church, just tell everyone God loves them and God loves them just the way they are, and God says, oh, I hope you never change. You're just so sweet and wonderful. Well, that's not John's message, is it? And I think that, listen, if we're really all honest with ourselves, we know that we're not wonderful and lovable and great all the time. Okay, you're all just looking at me. I will admit I will admit that I am not wonderful and lovable all the time. In fact, probably most of the time, I'm not as good as I could be. And repentance is so important. When I'm not treating my wife the way that I should, when I'm not treating others the way that I should, when I perhaps respond in a way that was just not right, when my relationship with God slacks off and I'm not doing what I should be doing, repentance is important to turn from the way we're going and to start going another direction. Will Willimon, some of you may have heard of him, he's a retired United Methodist bishop. He tells a story about serving a little United Methodist congregation down in Florida. And right next to his parsonage was this other house that was inhabited by a family, and the dad had a pretty bad reputation as a drug addict. There were rumors that he probably was beating up on his family. And so Willimon said that the church decided to take this family on as their project. And so the UMW brought them over casseroles to the house, gave them food. And that was great, and they did that once and never did it again. And he said the church sponsored the kids to go away on summer camp. And so the kids left on summer camp and never saw them again. And Willimon said a couple years later, he had moved on to another church, and he was walking through a local mall, and he saw this guy who looked really familiar. He didn't recognize the guy, but the guy recognized him and came up to him and said, "Hey, do you remember me? I used to live next to you." And Willimon said it was like his whole personality, his whole countenance had completely changed. And the guy said, "Listen, I've become born again." And Willimon said, "Well, that's great. Good for you." He said, "What happened?" And the guy said, "Well, this little Pentecostal church at the end of town, they came over to our house one time, and he said, I was drunk and I didn't want to see them. He said, but they put their foot in the door and pushed their way in, and the preacher grabbed me by the scuff of the neck, threw me on the sofa, and said, 'You're going to burn in hell, son, unless you repent and change your way.'" And he said from that moment on, he was converted and never been the same. Now, I tell you that story not to say that that's what we should go do, is go to people's homes and push down their door and grab them by the scruff of the neck, throw them down, tell them they're going to burn in hell. But I tell you that story because that style is a lot closer to John the Baptist than it is to anybody else. And one of the things that this fellow said to Bishop Willimon before he left was, he said, "You Methodists were so wonderful." He said, and this really kind of cuts deep. He said, "You guys were giving me aspirin when what I needed was radical chemotherapy." Did you hear that? We Methodists are nice, and that's good. It's good to be nice. It's good to give people casseroles. It's good to send kids to summer camp. But sometimes we've got to be real with people. And sometimes we've got to tell the harsh truth and reality to people. And sometimes it doesn't feel good to say it or to receive it, but sometimes that's the only message that can change a life. It's just the way it is. And there will be people who will walk away from that. Just like I'm sure there were people who left John the Baptist and said, "That guy is just absolutely cuckoo. Look at that camel hair shirt. We're never walking, never coming to see this guy again." But then there are people who also hear that message and they turn around and they're baptized and they repent and they change what they were doing and they start walking a different path. Friends, the message of the gospel really is that radical. It sometimes it requires that radical of a change in us. A complete shift from what we were doing into something else. And sometimes the message has a bit of a harsh edge to it. Just like John the Baptist did. Sometimes we need people in our lives. Sometimes we need God to come alongside of us through other people. And maybe tell us some things that we don't want to hear about our lives. I've had people who've done that in my life, and you know what? I'm the better for it. Call it tough love. Call it telling the truth. Call it whatever you want. But those people are so important. And that really is at the heart of the gospel. It's really about radical chemotherapy, radical change, huge seismic life-shifting transformation. That's really what it's about. Today we hear about John the Baptist. He plays a central role in the journey of Advent, in telling us that there's somebody coming. There's somebody coming. And this person is coming with a winnowing fork, and they're gonna start sifting out people's lives and separating this from that and making radical change. John says, you've got to be ready for it. You've got to be ready for it, because you may not want to hear it, but it's coming, and you're going to have to respond one way or the other to the message. So friends, it's my prayer that all of us can hear in our lives today, in this moment, with all that we are in this moment, all that we have, all the baggage of this week and of this year, and as we look ahead to a new year, which is maybe full of promise for some of you, maybe overwhelming for others of you, maybe uncertain for some, I hope that we can hear the message of John the Baptist. That we need to live as people who've undergone some radical change. We need to hear that message about perhaps turning from certain things in our lives that are not God's best for us and turning to something else. Someone is coming. Someone is coming. And will we be ready when he comes? May it be so. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as you go forth from this place, into the busyness of your lives, into all the challenges and joys and opportunities before each one of us, may you be people of repentance, people who will turn from what is not the best. Always be people who are seeking after God's way. May you go forward in the power of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.